This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
God speaks to us through His Word. Yes, God speaks to us and deals with us through prayer. Yes, God speaks and deals with us through worship. And God also speaks and deals with us through other believers. So get a hold of that. Don't have it set in your mind that I'm an island all to myself and I can just do it by myself. God can bless you through relationships. Even though you had a bad one, even though maybe your fracture came from a bad relationship, God can use the community of the called out ones, and He can use the church and believers and fellowship to help you in this journey of your healing.
Calling all men from around the world, join us for Mentality 2020.
A man that cannot control his emotions is the weakest man on the planet.
I'm nervous to share this message with you today.
I got an honest question.
Because it's going to get nitty and gritty.
We should be able to talk about certain stuff.
Real men, real talk. Join us for a revival of manhood at the Mentality Men's Conference. You don't want to miss out. Register now at CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
If you have your Bibles this morning, we've been talking about deliverance from brokenness, and hopefully you've understood how important it is for you to address this issue. I know a lot of times people say, well, I'm not broken. What? I don't need to hear this. And I'm telling you right now that there's one thing that you will not be able to escape in this life, I'm gonna tell you right now, no one makes it through life avoiding brokenness. And, you know, we're not talking about, you know, just having those really rough times, but Jesus died for the broken. And so, before I read our first scripture, I wanna look at some of the definitions that we have used to define brokenness, and we'll talk about how to get healed from it today and spend our time on that. So, we started off defining true brokenness as a tool by which God brings His wandering sheep back into His loving arms, and that brokenness is having been fractured or damaged or no longer in one piece, or it literally means, you know, fractured or broken or not in working order. We also looked at brokenness as flawed condition of humanity. Not just particular people, but a flawed condition of humanity that creates a tendency or a propensity for people to hurt themselves and then at the same time hurt other people. And I made a statement that you will not be able to make progress above the level of your unresolved brokenness. You can't allow the brokenness that happened when you were 8 continue to live in your life today when you're 40. So that's so very important. We also defined brokenness as the fundamental disorder that exists in creations that affects a person's relationship and it affects a person's behavior. In other words, we talked about brokenness as being a fundamental disorder that came as a result of the disorder that Satan caused in the Garden of Eden. And, you know, you may be healed of brokenness right now, you may not be going through it, but sometime in your life, you've had to deal with that. And there may be some times in the future you're having to deal with that. I mean, dealing with this coronavirus is one of those areas that a lot of people have suffered fracture. And things have happened as a result of this, emotionally, some of them in physically, Some people have passed on. But now it's time to talk about how do we get healed from that. It's time to talk about healing from a broken heart, healing from that fracture. And so we're going to look at that today. And I want to start off because I left off last week talking about how God will use relationships to help restore you in this area. But I want to look at Psalm 71, verse 20 in the New Living Translation, because I want to pick up with that as we move into healing from brokenness. But God can heal relationships, and can use relationships to help us to heal from that, because God can work through people to help you. It's not a good idea for you to decide not to have anything to do with anybody and just think that you're just gonna, you know, get healed on your own. But I want to show you that just because you've experienced some bad relationships, it doesn't mean that God can't use relationships to benefit you. Look at what he says here in Psalm 71, verse 20. He says, "You have allowed me to suffer much hardship, but you will restore me to life again, and you will lift me up from the depths of the earth." I mean, that's encouraging that he's allowed you to suffer much hardship, but he will restore you again. And I want to encourage you with that. God is in the business of restoration, and that no matter where you are and what's happened, the hardships that you've gone through, the pit that you've fallen in, the promise is that God will restore you and he will lift you up again. And so he will use relationships to do that. He will use relationships to restore you. He will use relationships to lift you up again. And so God has created us in his image for relationships. And much of the healing offered by God is only possible in and through a community of believers. Now, there's no such thing as a being who will decide to himself that I'm just going to do this by myself. There's just no such thing as being a vibrant, growing, Lone Ranger Christian. As believers, we need to ask God to help us to be vulnerable and to join with other believers on this journey towards wholeness. So God's Spirit dwells in the heart of every believer. And a significant part of his ministry is done in and through each one of us in the context of community, in the context of church, in the context of the called out ones. And though most of our emotional problems are either rooted or affected by personal relationships, healing from emotional pain is also most effective when it is done in the context of an interpersonal relationship. So God will use relationships. He will do a significant work through somebody else to help you to be delivered and to be healed from any brokenness or fracture in your life. Now, as relational beings made in God's image, we grow best in relationship with others. Now, listen to this now. Relationships are the context in which spiritual growth and change takes place. Relationships, it's the context by which spiritual growth and change takes place. That's why it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. See, as long as you're by yourself and there's nobody there speaking into your life or nobody there that you can trust to give you an honest view of what's going on in your life, it's going to be hard for you to grow, because everything's going to be about you. You'll be self-centered. You're in the center of the circle the whole time. But relationships are used by God, and relationships are the context in which spiritual growth can take place and change can take place. So through true wholeness is found in Christ, even though we know that true wholeness is found in Christ. I mean, wholeness is something that's already been made available, and true wholeness can only be found in Jesus Christ. That is true, but God uses human care and ministry to assist us on our journey. God uses people. God uses relationships to assist us in our journey of healing. God speaks to us through His Word. Yes, God speaks to us and deals with us through prayer. Yes, God speaks and deals with us through worship. And God also speaks and deals with us through other believers. So get a hold of that. Don't have it set in your mind that I'm an island all to myself and I can just do it by myself. God can bless you through relationships. Even though you had a bad one, even though maybe your fracture came from a bad relationship, God can use the community of the called out ones, and He can use the church and believers and fellowship to help you in this journey of your healing. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about healing from a broken heart. Now, I want you to listen to this very carefully. Although we were created for relationships, one result of the fall is that we function in broken ways in relationships. And that's principally because our focus is on ourselves and it's on our needs rather than on others and on their needs. On ourselves and on our needs rather than on others and on their needs. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4. And I'm going to look at this out of the King James and the New Living Translation. So what do we need to do? What does the Bible have to say about this, about us not being so focused on our needs and what's going on in our lives? He said this in the King James, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. But verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Wow. See, when we are wounded in relationships through abandonment or death or divorce or betrayal or abuse, those wounds can run deep, and yet at the same time, we're tempted to just focus on us. Look at this in the New Living Translation, the same scripture, Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Wow. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Verse 4. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Like I said last week, I think it's the boomerang effect. I think when we begin to focus in on somebody else's hurt, that's when healing shows up in our own life. When we begin to focus in on what's going on in somebody else's situation, that's when God can deal with our situation. And so pain can be described as an unusual gift. Think of that. Pain can be described as an unusual gift because pain demands the attention that is crucial to my recovery. Sometimes people have pain in their physical body. When they pay attention to it and it moves them to go and check it out, it's an unusual gift. And like physical pain, emotional pain awakens our senses. And when we ignore the pain or we seek relief from the pain and we try to get it through alcohol and we try to get it through drugs and food, we try to get that relief through work, we try to get it through new relationships, what's happening is we're only going to be helped for a time. You know, it seems like maybe those things can kind of dull things and dull the emotions for a time, but you're not really being healed of it. You're not really being free from it. Look at Psalms 147 in verse 3. You're not being healed or free from it. This unusual gift called pain. Wow. And we want to get healed from it. We don't want to just cover it up through those addictive behaviors. Look at verse 3. He says, He healeth the broken in heart, and He bindeth up their wounds. So that's the word of the Lord, that you can be healed of a broken heart. You can be healed of the wound that's in your life. No matter when it occurred or what stage of your life that it occurred, the promise from God is, I'll heal you from your broken heart. The promise from God is, I'll bind up your wounds. Now, In order to experience genuine healing, you and I, we must face our pain directly. And in so doing, we're taking an active step in beginning the healing process when we decide, I'm going to face my pain directly. You know, so many Christians, I don't know, they just, we cannot live our life kind of acting like stuff's not there. We cannot live our life, you know, pretending, you know, that, you know, I don't have any wounds and pretending, you know, that I don't have any fracture in my life. I don't have any pain that I'm dealing with in my life. We got to face it. We got to face it. We got to begin to look at it. I think that's going to be the start of a healing process. So we begin the process by examining those wounds instead of pretending that some things don't really hurt. We need to examine them. We need to look directly at the pain and admit how much it does hurt. Now, I know that sounds contrary to faith, but you got to locate yourself first, because whether we acknowledge our pain or not, old wounds have a way of resurfacing in our lives. And so this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how to be healed from these wounds, how to be healed from this brokenness so it's not reoccurring in your life over and over again. So I want to share with you four steps in this healing process of a wounded heart. What are these four things that I'll identify to you today and what you need to begin to start doing where dealing with your wounded heart? Well, the first one is, you know, when we have been wounded in relationships, when we've been wounded in loss, when we've been wounded in rejection, when we've been wounded in abuse. See, I want you to know that, you know, for those who say, well, I don't have any wounds or anything, I mean, surely you've lost someone or someone's passed, or surely there's been a time where you've been rejected and you want to pretend like it really didn't affect you at all, or maybe there's some times where you've been abused. I think the first step towards healing is acknowledging the wound. It's not only acknowledging the wound, it's being willing to examine the wound, to acknowledge the wound, I think, is the first step. You got to locate yourself. Even when we used to teach on the born-again process, the first step was to admit that you were a sinner. You know, well, I want to ask Jesus to come in our life. Well, do you know where you are right now? Do you know what's going on in your life right now? Can you come to the place of admitting that I am a sinner and I am in need of Jesus Christ? We're similar here. Come into a place where you acknowledge the wound. Come into a place where you can say, I'm hurt. I feel rejected. I've always felt rejected. There's something about coming to that place and acknowledging those things first. True healing requires that we examine the wound. We need to fully understand why we hurt. True healing requires that we allow others to share our pain and walk us through it. And it's here where we can begin to clean out the wound. Look at what the scripture says in Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read it in the NLT. Galatians 6 verses 1 through 3. I think as you begin to not only you acknowledge the wound, but, you know, using these relationships, these healthy, good relationships to begin to help clean it out. Look at what the scripture says here. I just had a second thought when I looked at this. In the New Living Translation, he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path." Verse 2. "And be careful not to fall into the same temptation, test, or trial yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ, which is love. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important." Wow. You are not that important. Where you think you're too important to help somebody else. You see, none of us as believers are so independently sufficient in and of ourselves spiritually that we are beyond the need of others in our lives. And that's just the way God designed us. We are dependent creatures. And, you know, dependent to maintain otherwise, and to us, for us to go around otherwise and to stubbornly walk through life alone is just not advised. And there are just too many people that are doing that. They try to walk through life alone. And, you know, this is going to bring up a point where I'm going to have to teach on how to develop healthy relationships, because relationships, it's God's will. And you've got to make sure that you don't substitute good, healthy relationships and ignore the fact that we are relational beings and, you know, just kind of become this loner and become a hermit. And that's just not the will of God for your life. Now, let's look at the second step here in this process of healing a broken heart. So the first step here is got to acknowledge the wound. You got to examine the wound. You've got to, you know, get with other people and people that you have good relationship with, somebody. If you can't even find that person, then get a therapist or somebody that can help you examine this wound and walk you out of that situation. Now, number two. Now, in order to heal from relational wounds of the past, we need to identify, number two, we need to identify and let go of those relational patterns we fall into that reopen old wounds, even in current relationships. So the second process here is I need to identify and I need to let go of those relational patterns that we fall into, those relational patterns that seem to bring us back and reopen some of those old wounds in those relationships. You have to begin to look at it. You have to look at it. What am I doing in every relationship that allows me to always end up in the same spot? What's going on in this relationship, the same thing that went on in the last relationship, the same thing that's going on, and it reopens the same wound. You've got to identify those things, because a safe and trusting relationship is the best place to explore those relational patterns. And like I said before, to have a relationship, even if it's a counselor or a trusted friend, you need someone who will be honest with you. I said you need someone who will be honest with you and can help you get outside yourself to examine objectively the harmful patterns that are replacing themselves and replaying themselves and reoccurring in your life over and over and over again. Who in your life can you trust to tell you, dude, you keep doing the same thing over again? Or you're replaying the same thing. I remember when you did it, you know, 10 years ago. I remember when you did it before you got your divorce. You keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. See, when you have a supportive and a trusted person in your corner to talk and to pray with, that's very essential. That's very important. Somebody in your life that can confront you. Look at Philippians chapter 3:13. Let's look at it in the New Living Translation. Well, that ain't Bible. Look at Philippians 3:13 in New Living Translation. He says this. He says, "No, dear brother and sister, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. I'm forgetting the past and I'm looking forward to what lies ahead." All right. So you're dealing with somebody, they don't have it all together. They hadn't achieved everything. And what they're doing is they're saying, you know, I'm going to forget about some things and I'm going to focus on what I need to focus on, but I'm going to go forward and do what I need to do, okay? And look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 15. Let's look at it in the King James and then the New Living Translation. The King James and then the New Living Translation. We're going to need support from people. We're going to need to let some things go. Look what he says in verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of every of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know what verse 14 is saying? Stop being gullible. Verse 14 is saying, stop being gullible. Stop entering into things so quickly without taking the time to examine it and look at it. Stop being so gullible. And sometimes in relationships, we're so gullible. There are signs at the very beginning of the relationship that this is toxic. There are signs at the very beginning of the relationship that this is not one that you should be involved in. To quit being so gullible. Don't be like children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. But then here's what he says, but speaking the truth in love. Do you have somebody in your life that can speak the truth in love? Not to speak the truth because they're trying to get back at you or trying to get one up on you, but somebody that loves you enough to speak the truth in love that you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I mean, who are we to decide, you know, whether or not somebody needs to know the truth? I think God can use an individual to speak the truth to somebody in love. And I think that can be a turning point in a lot of people's lives when they hear the truth spoken to them in love. It can be an amazing thing when somebody tells you the truth and you know they love you, but they tell you the truth. We're not doing any good when we see things as Christian brothers and sisters and we fail to speak the truth in love. We don't want to do that. We don't want to make that a habit. God wants to use you to help restore somebody and to heal somebody's pain and to heal somebody's wound. And sometimes speaking the truth in love is just what the doctor ordered. Wow. Look at this real quickly in the New Living Translation. I want to read verse 14 and 15 again because, I don't know, we got to be careful not as Christians to say, well, that ain't none of my business. I understand what you're coming from, but what if God is speaking to your heart? What if you're in this relationship with someone and you're this close to someone for the very reason that God knew that there was going to come a time that he can use you to speak the truth in love to that person? Look what he says in NLT. He says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body and even the church. Speaking the truth in love, growing more. He compares that to Christ, growing more and more like Christ when we do that. And so the second process here where getting your wounds healed it is that we got to locate those relational patterns that we fall into that reopen those wounds even in current relationships. Number three, now in order to experience genuine healing and freedom from our painful past, number three, we have to find a way to let go of those dangerous, insidious emotions. We got to find a way to let go of some of those dangerous emotions that we just hold on to. Depending upon the severity of the situation, the idea of forgiveness may be unacceptable. The idea of saying that you need to forgive somebody that murdered a family member. So depending on the severity of the situation, it may be unacceptable. And yet the reality is that the choice not to forgive somebody usually is even more damaging. So you do have a choice. And, you know, it just seems like it's just unreasonable to forgive somebody who deserves or who doesn't deserve your forgiveness. And yet to choose not to do it has already proven to be even more damaging to you. So choosing to forgive does not mean that we forget what happened to us or that we excuse the person who hurt us, or that we pretend that the hurt never happened, or that we ignore the wound. That's not what we're talking about. Forgiveness is God's way of dealing with sinful behavior, be it our sin or someone else's sin. You see, when we forgive, let me show you about two or three things when you do this. When we forgive, we hand ourselves over to God, trusting that God alone can restore and heal us fully and completely when we forgive. When we forgive, we are also trusting that God is totally opposed to the evil, and he sees it whenever and wherever it occurs. And so we agree with God that what happened to us ought not to have happened, and yet that I trust God knows how to deal with this better than I do. When we forgive, we also hand the offending person over to God. Forgiveness is something that's absolutely necessary. I'll probably say it again before I finish here. It's absolutely necessary in order to see restoration and healing of wounds and broken hearts. Forgiveness allows us to look at ourselves honestly as broken children of God who are first and foremost forever forgiven creatures. I cannot forget that I am forever forgiven. I cannot forget that God forgave me. Forgiveness allows us to replace our negative responses with more positive ones. I can now be more positive because I've forgiven. Forgiveness allows us to let go of the burdens of bitterness and resentment and to lay them at the feet of Jesus, who understands and even bears our suffering. He bears our pain. And by me forgiving, I'm demonstrating that, Lord, I can't handle this, and so I'm going to take this stuff and I'm just going to lay it at your feet and let you deal with it. Forgiveness is essential to this process of healing. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32. Forgiveness is something that has to be done, and it requires a supernatural ability to do it, and God's already given it to us. He says, let all the bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, all the evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. Let it go. And be kind one to another. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In other words, if He can forgive you, He will equip you to be able to forgive others. And a whole lot of this forgiveness needs to be pointed towards self in some cases. In some cases, you haven't forgiven yourself. And until you forgive yourself, it's going to be real difficult for you to forgive other people. And one of the things we begin to understand that if God has already forgiven me, then I might as well go ahead and forgive myself. I'm just wasting my time holding things against me when God's already forgiven me. And then once you begin to receive forgiveness for yourself, then you begin to receive forgiveness for other people, and you put away bitterness, and you put away evil speaking, and you put away all of the stuff you've been holding all of this time, and it's not done anything but kept you back. I mean, holding on to something that somebody did to you, somebody said to you, the way somebody treated you, until you lay that at the feet of Jesus, all it's going to do is hold you back and keep you from the next level and the next step that God has planned for your life. Keep you from the thing that you were called to do. Keep you from the thing that God has allowed you to be born on the earth to do, because you just can't let it go. And I'm telling you, it is essential to the healing process. It is very, very important. Don't wait until you're 60 before you decide to let things go. Remember what I say? And right now I'm saying it a lot lately. If it costs you your peace, it's too expensive. And walking in unforgiveness, it costs. It costs you your peace. Forgiveness requires us to admit that a wrong was done to us. And it's okay to admit that. But it's also okay to recognize that I can take that and give it to God, and He can begin to correct it and do what needs to be done. So by constantly blaming ourselves for wounds that were inflicted by others, and that's what happens sometimes, we blame ourselves for the wounds that were inflicted by other people. What are we doing? We're keeping ourselves from finding real freedom. Because at the end of the day, you start blaming yourself. Well, I did it. I'm sure you might have had a part to play in that, but, you know, blaming yourself all the time, that's not going to help you to heal. You see, sometimes in the process of trying to manage our own pain, we end up wounding other people. And when we try to manage our own pain and manage our own wounds, we end up hurting other people. And not only do we blame ourselves for our old wounds and hurts, but many of us also feel resentful and angry towards God. You see how the process goes? You begin to get to a point where you're so angry at God, and now it's His fault, and you're mad at the only one that can help you. You're upset at the only one that can bring you out of your situation. So we've got to let go of those emotions that have kept us trapped. We've got to let go of it. We've got to forgive. We have got to forgive ourselves. We've got to forgive others. We've got to forgive God. And I'm not saying it's going to be a piece of cake, but what I am saying is if you'll do this, you remove the debris out of the pathway that brings you to the place where God wants you to be in your life. And here's the fourth step in this process of wound healing. The key to genuine healing from past relational wounds is to find the courage to really love again. To find the courage to really love again. In this step, not only are you going to find the courage to love again, which is a risk, but to find the courage to take risk, to find the courage to make mistakes, to find the courage to be vulnerable, and to do all of that with other people. It's going to take courage. Courage to be vulnerable with other people. Courage to be vulnerable with yourself. Courage to be vulnerable with your God. You got to figure out how to love again. You got to figure out how to live again. You got to figure out how to take risks. You got to figure out, you know, how to make mistakes. You got to stop beating yourself up. And you have to make that decision. I'm not going to be afraid to love again. I'm not going to be afraid to trust again. I'm not going to be afraid to take risks. I mean, if you're sitting in the house all day because you're afraid of all the risks that are going on, we got to make some decisions, man. We got to make some decisions. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, doing something stupid. Say, well, Pastor said take a risk, so I'm going to step off the building to see if I can fall and die. I ain't talking about that. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in these relationships where relational hurt and wounds have come, that you're saying, I trust my God, and that there is somebody out there. Well, there ain't nobody out there. Yeah, there is somebody out there. There are people that are available. There are people that will be sent to you by God. Somehow, some way, you might need to clean up your own expectations of, you know, the type of people that you want to be around, and you're pushing away the ones that can end up to be your greatest blessing because they don't wear the tight clothes you wear or all that kind of stuff, or maybe they're not the same color you are. You got to be careful not to push away God-sent people, people that God sends into your life to be a blessing to your life. Amen? So now I want to review this. Some of this stuff you'll see in this, I want to go over that, you know, just put it together real simple in a little summary form, just in case I forgot anything, the 12 ways of this brokenness to be healed. Let me give them to you in a short version. Number one, admit your brokenness. That's true. Nothing starts. Healing doesn't start until you can admit it. Admit your brokenness. Number two, let go of anything holding you back. Let go of anything or anyone holding you back. What's holding you back today? Who's holding you back today? Are you in relationship with people that call you stupid all the time? Are you in relationship with people that you constantly have to dumb yourself down in order to have a relationship with them? Or you're in a relationship where you're always giving to people? Don't let go of anything that's holding you back or anyone. Number three, turn your failure into triumph. You make your mind up, I'm going to turn my failure into triumph. You know, some of you are still under stay-at-home orders. You know, don't get up every day complaining about stay-at-home orders. Take advantage of the time. Make yourself better. Start a class on the internet or something. Come up with a business structure for a new idea, a new way of doing things. Spend a lot more time praying with God, time meditating in the Spirit, time building yourself up. Turn your failures into triumph. Number four, even if you continue to fail, stay positive. Now, I don't think you will, but even if you continue to fail, stay positive. You got to understand, Satan will use failure to try to mess with you up here, to try to bring a negative connotation, a negative feeling in your mind, and oh my God, you know, it's kind of like that. I forgot to do the little cartoon. Oh no, you know, it'll never be right. You got to get rid of that attitude. That even in the midst of your attempt to try to do things right, they may not be working at the time, but still stay positive. Or maybe you did something and it wasn't accepted. You know, just stay positive, praise God, because people will, I mean, these things will grow you from one level to the next level, and you'll be ready when that time comes. Number five, do not apologize for going forward towards holiness. You don't owe anybody an apology. I'm going forward. I am going to achieve wholeness. I realize that the true source of my wholeness is Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to apologize to anybody for being born again. I'm not going to apologize for anybody to spending more time in prayer. I'm not going to apologize to anybody for, you know, going to church more. And I'm not going to apologize for me going towards wholeness in my life. And I know that sounds strange, but some people will persecute you when they see you trying to do better. Number six, spend time with yourself and God. There's something that happens in that time you spend. God can shine a light. You can see things about you that you probably would have never seen before. God will talk to you about you. And spending time with Him, spending time under His light and allowing Him to show you things, it brings you to another level. Number seven, you don't have to worry about, you know, oh, but I don't have people to hang out with. Oh, I don't have folks that, you know, that I vibe with. Because I believe your vibe will bring you to your tribe. And you don't have to worry about that. You know, if you like art and you're that way and you get all stirred up with art and painting and stuff, there's somebody else just like you somewhere. There's somebody else that appreciates things just like you appreciate. Somebody says, well, how do you find them? You start off, God, bring these people into my life. Show me my tribe. You know, you don't have to just resolve that you're going to be by yourself. Well, I'm weird and I'm an introvert. Nobody understands me. Don't play that with yourself. You were created relational, just like God. And He has those relationships ready and prepared for you. You know, we use our faith to get healed. We use our faith to get a promotion. We use our faith. Use your faith for relationships and for the right people to come around you and to be around you. Number eight, learn how and ask God to help you to love unconditionally. Learn what it means to love unconditionally. There are too many Christian people, we have been trained to love conditionally. I love you when these things are in the right place. I love you when you're acting like this. I love you when things are going this way. But loving unconditionally means I'm going to love you, and if you do stupid stuff, I'm still going to be there. I'm going to love you. If you get your butt put in jail, I am there because I love unconditionally. Man, we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to love when it's hard. And of course, God will add wisdom to all of that, but you've got to know what I'm talking about. You know, love is a gift, and to love somebody unconditionally is a gift. And that love was probably going to be something that you begin to grow into. We just beat too much of our own people up and throw them away when they need love. It's just something that happens when you can love somebody that everybody else has decided not to love, because brokenness, like I said before, people throw away what's broken. They reject what's broken. When something has a fracture, they don't want to have anything to do with it. And I think God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and we've got to learn how to love unconditional. Lord, teach me. And I'm praying this prayer for myself. My love needs to grow more in unconditional love. My love needs to grow more in unconditional love, to love what's not lovely, to love what's ugly, to love someone's brokenness or someone's past or even someone's lifestyle that I might not understand. My love has got to get to the point where I can love unconditionally.
God promised to deliver us from unresolved brokenness and make us whole again. Creflo Dollar dives deep into this topic that affects all believers and discloses relevant truths to help you overcome brokenness. Today's offer is a 6-message series, How to Heal from Brokenness, and is available today for a love gift of $35 or more.
If He started the good work, He's going to finish the good work. Now, I don't know where you are. I don't know what ditch you've fallen into. I don't know what philosophy you've been buying lately. But if God started the work, He will finish the work. He will use every crazy thing in your life to make sure that the work is finished. Why? Because He is faithful.
As an added bonus, we have combined the How to Heal from Brokenness series with the powerful CD, Heart of Nations. This combo can be yours for a love gift of $45 or more. Don't miss this opportunity to order yours today.
Calling all men from around the world. Join us for Mentality 2020.
I'm nervous to share this message with you today.
I got an honest question. I want y'all to be real.
Because it's going to get nitty and gritty.
I feel like we should be able to talk about certain stuff.
Real men, real talk. We will get down to it at the 2020 Mentality Conference.
Real man knows how to control his emotions. But a man that cannot control his emotions is the weakest man on the planet.
Man law is a demonically crafted system of messaging. And this messaging is designed to attach our identity as men to pointless things.
If I were a God and I wanted to develop you in the characteristics of Jesus Christ, you know what I would do? I would hide your miracle in somebody it takes you to be like Christ to love.
Join us for a revival of manhood at the Mentality Men's Conference. You don't want to miss out. Register now at CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
Have you ever wondered how the financial support from our viewers makes a difference in people's lives? We receive testimonies every day from people whose lives have been shattered by natural disasters, failed marriages, bankrupt businesses, and so on. They share how our outreach efforts and messages about God's grace have changed their lives in a tangible way. And for that, we give God all the glory. Today, I invite you to prayerfully consider financially supporting this ministry. We know you'll be empowered to see real change in others and prosper in your own life.
Your financial donations into this ministry work all over the world to change countless lives. If you'd like to support our efforts to save the lost, you may call in or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org today. God bless you. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.